Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Brought to you as always by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Jason Bishop. That is the foursome. We got open lines if you want to chime in. Your chance to steer the show at 800-636-1067. Tomorrow, we're going to have a little horse racing party at 2 o'clock, and Pete Medhurst is our guru on horse racing. Of course, led the boys behind the glass to buy Mama Grizzly back in the day, and he calls races. What's up, Pete? I was told Pete was going to be on the line, but now we hear nothing.
You don't hear me or no?
Cakesy?
I can hear Cakesy.
Hello.
Was waiting to hear. Okay. They can't hear me, apparently. So, we're having some technical issues. Things
I'm
like that
disconnect.
Happen from time to time as we're all doing the show remotely. I don't know if you guys can hear me now.
Pedro can hear me?
I hear both of you in case.
There's Pete.
I don't know if that's on the air or not.
I think so. Pete, what's going on?
Oh, wow.
All right, this is a technical snafu. I don't know if anybody knows who's on the air.
Oh, it's DJs.
So we're trying to reach out to Pete Medhurst because Pete calls horse races. Like I said, he was kind of the inspiration for Drab and Valdez buying a horse back in the day, Mama Grizzly. They got out of the horse racing business pretty quickly because they were losing their asses. Thanks probably to Pete.
That particular year.
And now I'm hearing some CBS radio in the background, I believe. I don't know if I should just reset. This is definitely not optimal. All right, what about the rest of the boys?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Hello, Darius, can you hear me?
There you go.
Okay, because I can't hear JP.
I can only hear anybody. I can hear Cakes.
Just you. Okay. Hey, Jason, you got me?
I got you, buddy. Can you hear me all right?
I think I'm on the air. I'm not 100% sure at this point.
I'm not sure if we are.
Okay. I'm having some connection issues from this end. I think it might just be me.
I can hear Bickle,
Jason,
too. Bick, are you there, buddy?
And Eric might still be trying to reconnect at this point.
I'm not sure.
800-636-1067 is the number. On an open line Thursday here with the Junks.
Cakes, you can't hear Eric right now.
And, of course, on NBC Sports Washington.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think we're on the air.
Gets back up on the bird in just a bit. I know we're going to talk some NFL draft in the next hour. We're about a week away from that at this point.
I was just told to fill time, so I don't know if Cakes is on the air.
Signs pointing to the Redskins selecting Chase Young.
No, this is the worst
overall.
It's ever been. Cakes can't hear me.
Everybody's still
Cakes
talking.
Cakes is doing his own show.
I don't know
show.
How many people are being heard at this
Cakes
point.
Is doing his own show. JP was doing his own show.
That's going to be the lowest rated show in history.
It's literally a disaster. Cakes can't hear me. I fully have restarted my thing.
Now I can hear you.
You can hear me now?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Listeners, you got to let us know if we're on the air.
I think now we're back. But I think there was a period of time where Cakes was doing his own show. JP and Pete were doing their own show.
Yeah.
Jason and I were just trying to get a word in edgewise.
No, right. I did a whole intro and kicked it to Pete, and then it was just silence. Oh. And then you guys were just, because we have Zoom,
you couldn't
you guys
hear.
Were just looking.
All right, I think we're back up and running now.
Well, we were pointing, we couldn't hear.
Yeah. I could hear Jason and Cakes. But yeah. I saw, because I have you guys on TV, so I was sitting there watching. I saw JP start talking, and I'm like, uh-oh.
Right.
Can't hear him.
Well, JP's usually a little slower. It takes him about 5 or 10 seconds to figure out what's going on.
Pedro, you and I and
Zip
Cakes.
It. You're dead wrong on this one, EB. By the way, he also just told me, just fill time. So the thing that I didn't
I'm
know
sure.
is.
That's what you were doing. I get it.
We were on the air, so.
You were on the air.
Correct.
For sure.
So I have to keep talking.
Hey, everyone loves right. bloopers. Everyone loves bloopers.
No. I'm completely aware of what's going on. I just don't know how long it took you to figure out that we weren't.
No, I knew it in 5 seconds. You guys were just looking out, and then I.
Well, I kept pointing to my ears. That's the signal from here on out. I can't hear anything.
Yeah. Well, Pete's on with us, and the reason we were going to have Pete on, and now he's there, is to kind of hype up tomorrow, where we're going to have our horse racing party. Pete, why don't you give us your professional qualifications when it comes to horse racing?
I'm a track announcer.
Come on,
hey,
Pete.
That's way more qualified than us.
I watched, especially right now, I watch TVG religiously because it's the only live sports that are on. So I kind of watch Gulfstream Park and Tampa Bay Downs, where there was an 80-1 shot who had lost his 3 previous races by 60-plus lengths yesterday that came across the finish line first.
Oh, see, that's what you're dying for.
The ultimate long shot is what you're looking
paid
for.
Paid $178 to win on a $2 ticket.
Oh, what did the exacta pay?
I didn't even stick around to see the price because even my man Kurt Hoover, who's on TVG as a commentator, is also a trainer. He said, if you came up with that one, God bless you. There was a guy I was looking on, I saw on Twitter, in that particular portion, I think, of the pick four, he played every horse in the race because it was a wide open race, but he played every horse in the race except the 6. And, of course, here comes the 6. Boom.
Boom.
Right across the finish line.
Well, I'm going to rely on you, Pedro, tomorrow, buddy. You're going to be texting back and forth or on the phone.
No, Pete's
going to
be doing the show with us. He's going to be on Zoom. And yeah, it'll be great.
I'm relying on Pedro and Valdez. Sold.
The good thing about it is the three main tracks that are still running on Friday are all legitimate. You know, Gulfstream Park, Tampa Bay Downs, and Oaklawn are all legitimate, bona fide top-level tracks. In terms of wagering, there have been some tracks during this pandemic that we have none of us in the horse racing industry, quite frankly, have heard much about, who are all just raking in significant, copious amounts of cash because there's just nothing for people to bet on.
Right.
Fawner Park in Nebraska, Will Rogers Downs, which I believe is in Oklahoma, those tracks would handle, if they got to $1 million. It was a reason for Mardi Gras. They're all handling well over $1 million, and that's just never happened at places like that, which is, why it's disappointing, a place like Laurel and Rosecroft, where I announce, aren't racing right now because there's just so much money out there within the wagering.
Is that because
community.
Of Hogan? Hogan shut it down?
It's obviously part of the pandemic. And
of course.
The strange thing about the whole thing is all these tracks are racing with no fans. It's not as if you've got loaded grandstands at Gulfstream and Tampa and places like that. But all of these tracks, Laurel included, have stable areas. People are actually, who grooms and people who take care of the horses, who stay at the track. They stay there in dorms, and they're able to take the horses out daily, exercise them, jog them, as if they were training for races, except they can't race. I mean, that's the thing that's been, strange and disappointing to horsemen, that they can't actually conduct racing. You're only talking, a few more folks in terms of the starters that help out at the gate and obviously the folks that take the tests of the winners and stuff after the race. But in due time, when they do come back, I still think there'll be plenty of money out there for a place like Laurel and Rosecroft to gain here in the system, hopefully.
That'd be great.
What about the horses from Marty and Wendy Bird's horse farm in Missouri? Are they going to be racing?
Well, they won't be reproducing. I know that.
No,
not with the balls cut off.
Well, he won't be reproducing. You got. I would say probably, 60% of the horse community, both thoroughbred and standardbred that race, are all gelded. So. There is still life after gelding, those are the horses that you'll see race in a lot of cases, until they're double-digit age because, as a gelding, there was no reason to turn you out as long as you can still run and be competitive.
By the way, Jason, 0% chance that Pete Medhurst has watched Ozark.
Correct. But I knew you three would understand the reference.
You haven't watched Ozark, right, buddy?
No.
Yeah. Have you binged anything while you've been at home?
Just old college football games because it's college football podcast that Joe Miller and I do, my partner at Navy. We took a different tact in the off season. Instead of concentrating so much on recruiting and things of that nature this year, we decided to turn back the clock and this year, right now, we're reviewing the 1987 season week by week.
Oh, wow.
It's been a lot of fun. To do that, and last week was Miami, Florida State in like week six, and 48 guys in that game went on to play in the National Football League, and it was probably the most frustrating loss for Florida State during that time. They dominated Miami, led 19-3.
Who were their studs back then? Give us a couple of names.
Miami was of course led by Michael Irvin, and they were down 19-3, and Steve Walsh, who'd been absolutely god awful during the game, hit Irvin twice. One with a big bomb for 63 that eventually put Miami ahead. And when you watch Michael Irvin's college tape,
you could argue certainly of that era,
because we can't talk about all time. We have to break this up into the respective eras. But you look at college football 70s, 80s, or 80s, 90s, however you want to do it, Michael Irvin's as good as college wide receiver as there was. Mm-hmm. And, back then when they would, quote, call guys flankers, and you watch that guy start with his hand in the ground, not standing up, but with his hand in the ground.
That's crazy.
But you watch him and Brian Blades back then from Miami. Melvin Broughton was the running back with Warren Williams, and George Myra was a tough middle linebacker for them.
Who was the QB?
They were
that
awful
Walsh?
That day. They were awful Walsh? For three quarters that day and rallied to the win because Florida State, as we all found out during that era, could never secure a field goal kicker who could do anything remotely close to kicking it between the uprights.
Right.
All right, Pete, we're looking forward to tomorrow.
Thank
you'll
you,
give
buddy.
Us some inside skinny. Maybe we need to find out some weather angles.
Pete, and, will you have a...
Hopefully he knows the jockeys.
Jockey angles.
Yes.
Will Pete
need
have
to know
a,
the jockeys.
A Corona Light with us? By the way, we may have a beer sponsor for this.
Really?
Nice.
That's big news.
Possible, yeah. It's possible. I know that's being worked on behind the scenes.
Love that. Yeah, a lot of your good riders right now, because New York's not racing and stuff like that, you got a lot of your better riders down at Gulfstream Park over at Tampa, of course. You're keeping an eye on whatever Sammy Camacho is riding. So, yeah, we'll keep an eye on it. My man Pete Aiello is working on trying to get us some sheets for Gulfstream Park, the outstanding track announcer there. So hopefully we'll certainly have a little bit of fun, and you never know. Might be able to make a couple of bucks in the meantime.
Very good.
All right, Pete. Thank you, Pete.
That's going to be at 2 o'clock.
Sammy Camacho's
tomorrow.
A stud.
If you say so.
His brother Hector was a stud, too.
Yeah. I mean, I'll take your word for it.
I feel all for right. Pete. We've said it a million times. I know we got to go to break. Nobody is suffering more than Pete and Lurch. Although Lurch is not suffering because he's not playing golf. Yeah. Pete is
He'll
suffering.
Play today, too.
Pete's suffering. His entire life is sports.
Jason plays golf, and he actually does binge watch shows. He'll finish a show in 2 days.
Yeah. Pete is. I've determined. I mean, all kidding aside, people are losing jobs. I mean, although Pete's lost jobs, right?
Of course.
Because of this. Pete's right up there suffering for sports fans. No one's suffering more than Pete.
Yep. All right. Phone number is 800-636-1067. We will talk some NFL draft a little bit later with Martin Rogers from Fox Sports. If you want to chime in on that, you certainly can. You can also tweet us at Junks Radio. Be right back. Welcome back. Chunky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington on an open line Thursday. Presented by Window Nation. If you're searching for new windows and doors, search windownation.com. Their windows measure to fit the first time, installed by experts to last. Window Nation for your home, because it's where you live. Of course, people are stuck in their homes, and for those that have families, you can at least be entertained with your families. But for singles out there that are used to trying to go out to bars and try and hook up,
graspers,
it's a huge, huge monkey wrench to your situation. We talked to a listener a few days ago who was, I guess, recently divorced, like divorced in the last year, and he said since then he got on a couple of sites and he's, you know, had pretty good success. I think he said like a 30 or 40% batting average.
Oh, he's a Hall of Famer.
To be pretty good.
Yeah.
Dr. Anthony Fauci went on some sort of Snapchat forum yesterday.
Right.
And somebody asked him about Tinder hookups.
Also asked him about Grindr, by the way, just so you know.
Man, they're hitting all the bases there.
Yeah, they are. So go ahead.
So they asked him about, you know, yeah, swiping on apps like Tinder, Bumble, Grindr, and he said, you know, it's tough.
Should have Valdez answering called, all these questions.
He said, right, because that's called relative risk, but if you're willing to take a risk, you know, everybody has their own talents for risk. You can figure it out if you want to meet somebody.
No. Jason, what are you doing with your Grindr account right now?
Yeah. When you guys talk about all these counts, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I think you know what the Grindr site is, though.
It's the Grindr.
No, but here's the thing. I've talked about it for several weeks. If I was, first of all, for me, I'm just a regular guy, but I have a lot of anxiety. I have OCD in my family. This thing is messing up my head. I'll be honest with you. I don't see myself going back to a bar anytime soon. I don't see myself going to a restaurant anytime. I'm definitely not going to a ball game anytime soon. If I was single, you know, you're just totally rolling the dice. And this is good, by the way, this is going to be periodic with outbreaks happening over the next year and a half.
See, I don't believe that, because you say you won't go to a ball game. Okay, maybe you don't go to a Nats game.
Yeah.
But you're going to go if your daughter's tournament was on for, let's just say, a month from now.
I actually have one scheduled for late May and early June.
Okay, let's just say it was the early June.
Yeah.
You're going to go.
I'm going to wear a mask.
Okay, you're going to wear a mask, but you're still going to go.
Right, but that's only because it's my kid, and if my kids get it, I'm going to get it anyway.
All right, well, just but don't say you're not going to go to a ball game, because you will.
Well, I'm not going to go to anything extracurricular. I'm just not. I'm telling you, it's changing me. And by the way, I'm praying that my kids' stuff gets canceled, and I've never prayed that before. I don't want to go. Well, I don't want to go to a convention center with 1,000 people.
You might have the antibodies. You might be immune to it.
Well, I signed up for the NIH study, or at least I tried to. And hopefully I do have it.
I'm just saying, when things calm down, and eventually they have to, and people aren't dying every day, there's not 800 deaths a day in New York, and everything's fine, you are going to go back to your normal life. Maybe not in the next 8 months, but you will.
I hope eventually, but I'm just telling you, I think this is traumatic for people. And I think we got to do it right now.
I mean, you're not going to be wearing a mask in 4 years.
I hope not, but I think this is traumatic for people. Like, it's screwing
up. Of course.
Like, I don't even know how to buy groceries anymore without my, you know what I mean? I'm, like, totally weirded out. What do I do with the groceries? When we went to Cava, I wouldn't let my kids eat the Cava until and even though they're doing all the right things at Cava.
So you wiped them down?
I just wiped down the container. I didn't wipe anything down with the cardboard because I didn't want it to seep through and, you know, poison the food. But I just wiped the, you know, and it's probably stupid.
Maybe that's just an extra step we're going to have to take for the next months or years until this thing subsides.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree, but like I'm not in any hurry to go to even a house party with 30 people. I mean, would you?
No more Kringle?
Kringle might be cooked.
Well, I think the Kringle numbers have been dwindling anyway. I think you're going to have 10 or less for that.
Yeah, you definitely have 10 or less.
For the most part.
Yeah, I don't know.
But you got a bunch of old farts.
When MGM National Harbor reopens, I will be there. I will be in the poker room, and I'll take the precautions, but I'm going to get back out there. It's going to happen at some point.
I don't want anything to do with this effing disease.
I don't either.
Well, nobody
but
does.
I'm not going to
live the rest of my life inside my house. I like my house. I love the people that are in my house, but I'm not going to spend every waking moment within the four walls every single day.
Yeah, I'm not recommending that people do. I'm just saying, and I'm not saying for the rest of my life, but I'm saying this is traumatizing for people.
And hello, yeah. We need to jumpstart, and I know this is premature. I could use it a few appearances. I'm just being honest. I could use an appearance or eight.
I don't even know if I want to do an appearance.
By the way, JP,
I don't see JP
on the Zoom screen. Do you guys see?
Yeah, I just hear Zoom. I hear his voice. I don't see him.
I think his computer crashed.
The Zoom, 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 and the boom, boom.
you guys all froze on me on the Zoom. So,
but I understand what you're saying. I mean, it's still new, and people are still freaking out. But eventually, we'll get back to a comfort zone.
I hope, and that's obviously, you know, what they're trying to present to us in these daily pressers, and I hope they're right, but I don't think it's going to be anytime soon. I mean, I think it'll be, you know, like it's going to be bizarre when we watch games, and I'll kill for it, and I want them to do it starting now if they could, but when we watch these games with no fan, it's weird.
It'll be jarring at first, but you'll get used to it.
Speaking of the no fans, Kirk Cousins did that media call. I think it was with ESPN. I don't know who was the host, but he said that, you know, he's just equated it with practice. He said, yeah, we practice with no fans. He said, it'll be refreshing. I think he used refreshing and a breath of fresh air in regards to playing without fans, which is kind of weird.
That's a weird say. He's a weirdo.
That's a weird thing to say for a starting quarterback.
He's an Eddie Haskell. I can't take anything he says seriously.
I get what he's saying. He wants to get back out there no matter what. But that would be – it's weird to say it would be refreshing to play without fans.
Well, maybe that's because he's getting booed.
He might be throwing to another receiver with OBJ.
Right. All right, let's pass on these calls.
That would be a disaster.
If that goes down.
That's a run-based offense. You think he's not going to bitch and moan about his role in that offense?
Right. If you think Diggs was bitching,
yeah,
wait until you get a hold of OBJ.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to line one. Let's go to Charles in Arlington, if he's there, Darius. Charles, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, Ricky. Shout out to Sacktown Mike. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, where's he been?
Yeah, where's Sacktown?
You got to get a hold of Sacktown.
He can't be essential. Sacktown essential?
You know what? I want to get Sacked. Let's get Sacktown next week for the millionaire. He can be one of the lifelines.
Oh, he'd be great. He'd be way better than Adam and Cowboy.
JP, we can rely on you because you have his number, I believe.
I mean, I've texted him a million times in the last probably 6 months. Remember, we saw his son at the Nationals parade.
His son listens, right? Have his son reach out to him.
Yeah, we're going to try and reconnect that way, but some reason we haven't been able to do so. I think he works in the morning now and can't call in like he used to.
Yeah, but he can't be essential. Is he essential?
I don't know.
All the Junks OGs are just fading away.
Yeah. they're just hard to get. May he rest in peace.
Yeah.
I'm convinced Derek is dead.
I like how you just buried him.
And Blind Mookie. Both guys have to be dead. I don't wish it upon them, but, I mean, we haven't heard from them. They have to be dead.
Charles, I would bet at least one is still alive.
Charles, did you want to talk about the Jordan doc?
Yes, I did. Sacktown, you owe me some attention dollars. Jeez, this guy got all this shine just for mentioning his name.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you guys if you're excited about the Jordan docuseries coming up on April 19th. I read an article the other day. I hadn't heard this before. I heard that Jordan might have gotten his dad murdered through his gambling habits. Have you heard that before?
That's an old rumor.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case.
Those guys that killed him were just idiots.
They were just randos.
Yeah, they're thugs.
Why? Is that going to be in the documentary?
I just heard some donkeys just talking about it on Twitter. But are you psyched about the documentary?
Yes.
Of course.
Of course. Anything. Anything new. I'm tired of watching HGTV.
Right. Although, like Tiger, I think Jordan, like, as a person, is kind of a douche, certainly with the average Joe. You know, I'm sure he's awesome with Ahmad Rashad.
Right.
But but I'm a huge fan of Jordan, like, as a player. Like, I could separate it. But it's interesting because I heard that he had to stop. Did you guys read that they say he had to stop the camera several times because he was getting so emotional during the whole thing? How many parts is it?
10.
10. Wow.
We're going to show 2 this Sunday night.
I should make my son and my kids mandatory that they watch this.
Yes. Definitely your son.
You know what I mean? Well, my girls too, they're huge sports fans. I'm going to make them watch.
I think it includes cursing too.
Yeah, right? Like on ESPN.
Unedited.
Yeah, like but they're doing 2 channels. This is how desperate they are for programming. Like I I'm sure I have it wrong, but like ESPN's going to show the cursing, but like ESPN2's not.
Okay.
Did you see that?
I did not.
Yeah, like one's going to be clean.
Well, I'm definitely watching the curse-laden version.
Are they hour episodes or half hour?
It's a great question.
Don't know. I'm going to guess an hour.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know either.
Usually right, the 30 for 30s are an hour, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks, Charles. Appreciate it, buddy. Let's go to line two. Let's go to Mike in Bristow. It's open line Thursday. Your chance to steer the show. As far as I know, it's still the same number, 800-636-1067. Mike, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. Good morning. I've been calling a lot recently. I get my fix in. But first off, I want to say prayers up to former Junkies guest Scott Zolak. His father passed away yesterday.
Oh, that's brutal.
That sucks.
Yeah, longtime family friends. Also, on the heels of the Tina Charles trade yesterday, I want to get your thoughts on the upcoming WNBA draft. I know Sabrina Ionescu is the clear-cut number one, but what do you guys think as far as the rest of the field?
I love the
series. So funny.
Great question.
That's the only girl I know.
You know what?
In the
I
draft.
Bet you Pete could answer. Pete could probably give you an answer. He could fake his way through that.
He could give you a mock draft right now.
Yeah.
I don't think it'd be fake. I think he would know.
I think he'd be faking a little bit.
So, Mike the Banker, are you essential?
I am essential. Absolutely. With all this paycheck protection program, I'm going crazy.
Yeah.
Can you speak to, because I had somebody hit me up on Twitter and said, it depends on your bank or whatever who has your loan about that whole mortgage deal. So, like, the guy that called in and said, what, did he work for Rocket Mortgage or whatever?
Yeah, the forbearance. Yeah.
And so that in 3 months, their deal is you just have to pay them what you owe, you know. But then others are going to back end it. It just depends. Can you confirm that?
It depends on your financial institution. A lot of them are back ending it.
I'm doing that. That's a no-brainer, right? Why wouldn't I do that?
Absolutely.
Yep,
dude, I gotta remind me, Cakes. Text me to call Ed.
That'll cost you a buck.
All right. I gotta do that, man. I gotta at least explore.
I'm still waiting to hear back from my bank. They said they were gonna get back to me by the end of the week, and they haven't let me know what the new rules are.
Yeah, it depends.
But I'm pushing for it. I'm definitely pushing for it.
If they're gonna back end 3 months of your mortgage and they're not gonna add interest to it.
Right.
Well,
every
single person in the country should do that.
Correct.
Now, but if you just owe them a lump sum in 3 months, you're just delaying the inevitable.
Oh, I'm not doing
I don't
that.
See how that benefits you. I mean, no, it's just going to be
that.
Annoying.
No. Well, what's the point?
Yeah, yeah. I guess
I don't
the
know
point
why
would be if you just cash poor.
I mean, if the government's backing it, I mean, I don't know why they wouldn't do it. But I think the other thing is you have to make sure that you're still paying your, if you escrow, you're still paying your taxes, like your property taxes.
I don't even know.
And your insurance on your, I think you have to do that.
Now you're way over my pay grade.
I'll let you know what my bank says.
Yeah. All right, let's go. JP's back. Let's go to line three. Let's go to Pete in Norfolk. Pete, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up? This is exactly the person I want to talk to, EB.
All right.
Are you sitting down?
Go ahead.
You might want to lay down when I tell you this.
Mm-hmm. I don't. I see what you're going to say. Do you actually think you're going to tell me something that I haven't read about? Or, you know.
He's corona flexing on you.
Hold on. Let me. What is it about?
Go ahead. Right.
So I hear y'all throwing out this I word all the time, immune. And it's starting to come out that people that have the virus and get better can get reinfected or it stays in their body and gets reactivated.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I'm just buying that. You know,
are there cases of that?
There's over 100 in South Korea, and South Korea is like the gold standard of.
Right, but have you listened to Dr. Fauci when he's addressed this? And I pretty much stick with Fauci and Birx and what these guys say. That Fauci said he doesn't buy it either. That remember, you got to understand that testing, the quality of testing in the other countries is. The first test that came out, there was 50-50 whether or not you get a false positive or a false negative. Now, I'm not a doctor, but my guess is these are false negatives that they're saying, oh, yeah, you've cleared, and then later it's, it comes back that you actually haven't quite cleared it yet. Yeah, that would be my guess.
I don't know. I believe it, though, because you got people on the news, NBC, ladies quarantined and everything, hadn't done everything perfect, and she just got the antibody test and found out she had gotten it. So as infectious as it is.
Well, that's because asymptomatic people are spreading it. That's the whole conundrum with this stupid-ass disease. If it wasn't for the asymptomatic crap, the asymptomatic spreading, we wouldn't be in this pickle because we would just stay home when we're sick.
Another thing that's going to blow your mind is that
you're not blowing my mind. You're just annoying me.
Oh my God! Could you yell more?
Numbers. You know that China, if you test positive but you don't show symptoms, so you're asymptomatic but you test positive, they don't count that in their numbers as infected.
Of course, the Chinese numbers are BS.
Of course, they're shady.
It's the worst country in the world. My wife is Chinese. It's a terrible country.
I just think that if we've only tested, 1 or 2% of the people in this spot. I think there's so many asymptomatic people.
You think?
Everybody at some point is going to get it.
Can you hang up on this
Pete,
idiot?
Thank you. Thank you for the call, buddy.
I've never.
Thanks for listening to Norfolk.
Norfolk.
Every single thing he said was common sense and common knowledge. It's making me crazy. You think there are people
the best thing
that
you said
haven't been tested. Of course.
The smartest thing you said was China's an awful country.
Yeah, never, ever go to China.
I'm never going.
I'm sure I'm offending tons of Chinese Americans, but I'm sorry.
My kids, listen, my wife's Chinese. My in-laws are Chinese. They're
the dearest
people.
Connection,
my family connections, I'm practically Chinese. my kids are 50% Chinese. My daughter's taken literally like Chinese 5. My son took Chinese 4. I thought it was brilliant.
Your family
Chinese.
Wouldn't even want to go there.
No, they do.
Have fun on the wet market. Tell me how silly it is.
So you're telling me Dina, your wife, wants to go to China?
Of course. They all want to go.
They're not
going to
come back alive. They're going to be dead.
No, but this is before the dumb eating bats bit and the virus in the Wuhan lab crap.
The Wuhan clan.
Yeah.
Love the Wuhan clan. Money rappers.
Good thing.
They all wanted to go, and I was like, you know what? I don't really like traveling, but that's one place. Since my family's Chinese, I'm practically Chinese myself. We should all go. I'll never go to that country. Ever. I don't think anybody should ever go. Terrible country.
They have a great wall.
Big deal. A wall.
Yeah, I don't even wall. See that dumb thing. You think I'm going to walk that wall? What is that, a billion miles? F that. That country stinks.
If your top attraction is a wall, not going.
I thought, oh, we'd go. I love Chinese food. It'd be great. Well, I'll go over there and freaking die.
I get plenty of good Chinese food here.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I got 100 of them over in Wheaton.
I go to Cafe Opera.
Panda Express, Bowie Town Center. Chinese food.
That's not even real Chinese.
Fake Chinese food.
I get authentic Chinese over there. The chickens are hanging from the ceiling over in Wheaton.
You think it's not silly, Cakes?
I mean, I've had it before. It doesn't mean it's silly.
Yeah, yeah. All right, everybody's saying we got a break. I got to do this read. Hold on. All right, Crop Metcalf. I love Crop Metcalf. They've proudly served our community for over 40 years. And now, during these uncertain times, you can expect nothing less than the same level of professionalism, honesty, and experience. The 5-star experts at Crop Metcalf can tackle any heating, air conditioning, plumbing, electrical, or pest control issue while taking every precaution to keep you, your family, and their coworkers safe. Learn more at cropmetcalf.com/health or call 1-800-GO-CROP. Crop Metcalf, home of the 5-star technician.
Welcome back. Chuckie's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington on an open line Thursday, 800-636-1067. You can also text us on the Tom Circuit Windows text machine. Standard message data charges may apply. It's the same number, and you can always tweet us at Junks Radio. I don't know whether it's true or not. Somebody tweeted us earlier that ESPN supposedly is considering buying the rights to broadcast Korean baseball games.
Yeah, someone texted me that.
To open up.
Let me check on that.
I did see that blurb yesterday.
I mean, I guess it's no different than watching the XFL where you don't know any of the players. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. We're a culture. This is my theory. We're a culture that's fascinated by sort of celebrity. And if you don't know who the players are, I think it's really, or the team, or there's, you know what I mean? There's no draw there. But if we knew that there were a couple of, like, Japanese stars that were international stars, I think we would be more intrigued.
I think even with a dearth of options sports-wise, I don't think I would tune into like a foreign baseball league. I just don't see myself doing that.
The story says that the source that reported this says ESPN is showing only passing interests. So I don't know how serious they are about it.
Well, they're probably getting more and more desperate for programming.
Yeah. Of
course
they are.
I told you that when they were running the NBA 2K stuff, where it was you know, Kevin Durant playing video games against Derek Jones Jr., mm-hmm. that they went away from it on ESPN, and then they went to their movie night and were showing Glory Road, I believe, a basketball movie. But eventually they're going to run out of these type of things, which have been filler.
Last night they were showing 2009 NBA Finals between Orlando and the Lakers. I think it was 2009.
Yeah, what sort of numbers? I actually stumbled onto, and this was kind of late last night, but I stumbled onto in the NBA channel. I was just flipping through the channels. In the NBA channel, they were doing a film room session of, it was game seven of the 1987 Eastern Conference Finals between the Celtics and the Pistons. Mm. And they had Kevin McHale with his headset, and they had Isaiah Thomas and Rick Mahorn, and they were just talking about the game.
See, that intrigues me not at all.
It commanded
my
attention
for 5 seconds.
A couple of minutes as they were kind of breaking down different plays.
But again, I'm weird because I'll stop in and I'll watch the 2000 World Series of Poker final table, and most people are going to see that, and they're going to go right past it.
Right.
But that's something that I care about, JP.
They're desperate for some live sports. They really are. And
yeah,
I don't
but are
think
you going to watch that, Jason?
What, Korean baseball?
Yeah.
No, I won't watch that. I mean, that's the same as watching replays for me.
Right.
But I'm just telling you, that's why these stories are coming out there. They're just so desperate for one of these leagues to come out. I'm just hoping the PGA can really come out and start playing. And I guess technically they're going to be second week of June. I hope that happens. But it's going to take forever to get to the second week of June.
Right. How is MLB doing this antibodies test thing where there's 10,000 of these available? You know, we signed up for this NIH thing, or we're in the process of trying to get into the study where we can take the antibodies test, because, you know, it's right down the street. But and my Stevie told me his buddy is taking the antibodies test on Friday, so he, I think he may be doing the same study. Is it that easy to do? I don't think it is yet, right?
But can't, I don't think so.
Can't,
but
can't
maybe
the PGA Tour buy 1,000 tests or whatever and give it to all their guys?
I would think.
And then get going?
I would think.
Let's just do this. I mean, I don't want to put anybody in harm's way.
Yeah,
of
but
course,
are you gonna, what about the rules officials and the caddies?
Well, anybody that's associated with it has to have taken that test.
Yeah.
Or you know, and it has to be clear or whatever. I mean, maybe not, you know.
It's coming. It's just going to take forever. I mean, we're only in mid-April.
You can't just snap your fingers and have 330 million tests,
right?
You know, of a brand new disease that just came out. That's so annoying.
By the way, did you guys see the story of Roy Halladay, who of course died in a plane crash about 3 years ago? And I couldn't believe this. So he died off the Gulf of Mexico in 2017, Cakes. He had 10 times the amount of recommended level of amphetamine, morphine, muscle relaxer.
He was some other
opioid. He had antidepressants.
Yeah,
all in his bloodstream. I mean, he was doing stunts. He had a death wish
in like an experimental stunt airplane.
He had a death wish.
Just craziness.
Well, he was addicted. Are any of those? Yeah. Are they opioids? I don't know. Like when you said, I'm not a drug guy, so
morphine is an opioid.
Morphine is. Yeah. So he had an opioid addiction.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a death wish, and he had it all in his system, and he was doing stunts.
Right.
He said the story says he was sometimes within 5 feet of the water. That's what witnesses said. Think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, he was right above the water doing stunts.
I wonder if his family knew, because, again.
Oh, I'm sure they had to. His wife had to have known something.
That he had that. Yeah, because luckily nobody in my immediate family that I can think of, you know, certainly not my immediate. I'm trying to think of, like, cousins and that sort of thing. I can't think of anybody that I know that has an opioid addiction. But it's such a big deal in our culture, right? That, like, everyday folks that you know, functioning people have this. You don't realize it, right? I mean, it's a huge problem.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, 2 weeks before the crash, before he died, he was flying underneath bridges in Tampa. And there was about 100 feet between the bottom of the bridge and the water.
What is he doing?
Yeah, that's, well,
he was
like
crazy.
Said,
he was nuts.
He had a death wish.
Yeah,
he was a thrill seeker. And at the back of his mind, probably had a death wish, and it was accelerated by the drug use.
What do you mean by a death wish when you say it that way, Jake?
He's a thrill seeker, and he has to know when he's engaged in those sorts of activities.
Not if he's pummeled.
That there's a good chance that he's going to die.
Do you think he knows that when he's high?
He was living on the edge.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Like you said, he was addicted.
I throw all bet. I don't know anything about drugs, but it seems to me if like you're addicted to drugs, like your judgment is just terrible, right? You just have terrible
judgment.
Well, I think
if you're addicted to drugs, then it also leads to you being addicted to thrill seeking and addicted to other things in your life too. And obviously for Halliday, it was a deadly cocktail.
Man.
Yeah.
I can't believe that. 10 times the recommended levels.
Well, remember the pitcher for, was it the Angels? Where the guy had the opioid addiction, and seemingly a lot of people didn't know about it. Although now they're saying that a lot of guys on the team may have known, and there was something going. Whatever came of that? Was it like a trainer that was getting him the pills or whatever?
I think so. Like somebody that worked for the team.
Right.
I mean, that's just one of the biggest lawsuits I've ever heard of coming down the pike.
Tyler Skaggs, right?
By the way, Jason, have you seen that documentary, that Hoops documentary that I watched on HBO?
The Scheme?
Yeah, you got to watch that, man.
I know. It's on the DVR. I just haven't gotten around to it yet.
There's nothing earth-shattering in there, and we've heard all the audio before, but the way they put it all together, especially the last 45 minutes, I can't believe that those guys – I can't believe Will Wade's still coaching. I can't believe Sean Miller is still coaching. I can't believe it.
Right.
All right, got to take a break. It is Open Line Thursday. If you want to chime in on anything, 800-636-1067 is the number. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.